Happy
Oh
Easter.
wow. I can't match that energy.
Hoppy. I've had
I
a
don't get
lot
are
of.
you saying hoppy?
I don't know anymore, Eric. I
I
don't
don't
know
get it though,
anymore.
like
I don't know anymore. You spent all this time giving me the whole explanation of hoppy versus happy, and I thought I got it, and
I
I
don't
thought I
remember
was.
any of that.
Yeah, that happened. You just have a fever. And I,
Still?
yeah, still.
Oh wow.
And I felt very solid in my knowledge of hoppy versus happy. I also thought that being an English teacher, I had some kind of, leg to stand on as far as interchangeability of the two. And now you're gaslighting me. That's okay though.
I'm not gaslighting you.
Kind of.
Gaslighting doesn't exist. You made that up. Because you're crazy.
Gaslighting. You made it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of making things up, today's day 75, four, save 74. And
Wow,
we,
now who's gaslighting?
it is 74.
Wow.
It's 74. It's Deuteronomy 26 through 27 and Galatians 1. And I have to say, I think this latte with an extra shot has kicked in because I'm feeling like I could just read and read and read.
Interesting.
Okay.
Because I feel like I could just keel over.
It's match my energy, Eric.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
That's okay. That's
But
why
that's all right.
that's why I'm here. So Deuteronomy 26, harvest, offerings, and tithes. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you have conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Go to the priest in charge at the time and say to him, "With this gift, I acknowledge to the Lord your God that I have entered the land he swore to our ancestors he would give us." The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord your God. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, "My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to the place and gave us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground and worship before him. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. Every third year, you must offer a special tithe of the crops. In this year of the special tithe, you must give your tithes to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, so that they will have enough to eat in your towns. Then you must declare in the presence of the Lord your God, "I have taken the sacred gift from my house and have given it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, just as you commanded me. I have not violated or forgotten any of your commands. I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not handled it while I was ceremonially unclean, and I have not offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God and have done everything you commanded me. Now look down from your holy dwelling place in heaven and bless your people Israel in the land you swore to your ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." A call to obey the Lord's commands. Today the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all the decrees and regulations, so be careful to obey them wholeheartedly. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and you have promised to walk in his ways and obey his to obey his decrees, commands, and regulations, and to do everything he tells you. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised, and that you must obey all his commands. And if you do, he will set you high above all other nations he has made. Then you will receive praise, honor, and renown. You will be a no nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as he promised.
The altar on Mount Ebal, Deuteronomy chapter 27. Then Moses and all the leaders of Israel gave this charge to the people: obey all these commands I'm giving you today. When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write this whole body of instruction on them when you cross the river and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. When you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster as I am commanding you today. Then build an altar there to the Lord your God using natural uncut stones. You must not shape the stones with an iron tool. Build the altar of uncut stones and use it to offer burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Also sacrifice peace offerings on it and celebrate by feasting there before the Lord your God. You must clearly write all these instructions on the stones coated with plaster. Then Moses and the Levitical priests addressed all Israel as follows. O Israel, be quiet and listen. Today you have become the people of the Lord your God, so you must obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commands and decrees that I am giving you today.
Curses from Mount Ebal. That same day, Moses also gave this charge to the people. When you cross the Jordan River, the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin must stand on Mount Gerizim to proclaim a blessing over the people. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali must stand on Mount Ebal to proclaim a curse. Then the Levites will shout to all the people of Israel, "Cursed is anyone who carves or casts an idol and secretly sets it up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who dishonors father or mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who steals property from the neighbor by moving a boundary marker." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with one of his father's wives, for he has violated his father." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with an animal." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his sister, whether she is the daughter of his father or his mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his mother-in-law." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who attacks a neighbor in secret." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who accepts payment to kill an innocent person." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the terms of these instructions." And all the people will reply, "Amen."
All right. And off we go to Galatians, right? Chapter 1?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
There is only one good news. I am shocked that you were turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you have welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
Paul's message comes from Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how violently I persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declared before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. After that, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me.
And that is our reading today.
Okay. We read that with two questions in mind, Allison. I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
I'm vaguely aware.
Yeah.
Remembered something about that.
How does this help us love God more? How does this help us love others more? And Allison, you get to decide for yourself. You can choose what's right. Your truth.
My truth. Right. No, I am going to go with, how does this help me love others?
Okay.
At the end of, right in the middle of Galatians 1, where he says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Mm. And then later, a couple of paragraphs later, he says, when he's talking about how God chose him to reveal his son to him. And then he said, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. So those two things I underlined because I kind of felt like they were connected in that it may not seem like a way to love others more to say, I'm not out for your approval. But what we owe people truth, mm-hmm. and we can't change truth. Like you just said, my truth. You can't change, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
We can't change truth to please other people or to make them more comfortable. That's not loving. Right. You love others more by standing on the word of God and being, and I guess trying to follow the example of Christ, not by trying to please other people or seeking out consulting them over God, where he says, I didn't rush out to consult with another human being. That's a very common thing that I do. I am the kind of person that feels the need to get some kind of
validation
yeah. from people. And that is not necessary. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing when it's used in accordance, like when you use it with prayer, you know, to seek wise counsel. We're told to do that. But it is a bad thing when that's your first, I need to go seek out some human to tell me that I'm doing the right thing
right.
and seek the approval of others. Rather than standing firm on the knowledge that on truth and what the Bible says and what it is to be a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I can love others more by remembering that it's not about what everybody else wants of me. It's not about that. It's about what God wants me to do in this life.
Yeah.
And that in turn is loving others more. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
That's great. I love that. Okay, how does this help me love God more then? Well, I think the most loving thing we can do toward God is to obey him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's straight up what Jesus says, right, in John 14, mm-hmm. if you love me, keep my commandments. So I just love this little paragraph, a call to obey the Lord's commands. Today, the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all these decrees and regulations. So be careful and obey them wholeheartedly. I think sometimes we're not careful. And I think sometimes we don't obey wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. right? So, like, we aren't careful and cautious and mindful of our hearts, right? Because obedience to God is about more than just the actions, right? Mm-hmm. It's about our hearts. And so I think sometimes we're not totally careful and cautious, and we don't seek a greater level of awareness of our intentions and our motivations. And so I just think, man, there's something to that where we can say, I can love God better by paying very close attention to my heart as I obey him. You know, the Pharisees were really good at obeying the law, but they were so far off from what God's intention was for them,
mm-hmm.
right? They missed mm-hmm. the greater parts of the law of mercy. And so, yeah, so you've declared today, the Lord your God. I've declared that. You've promised to walk in his ways and obey his decrees, commands, and regulations and do everything he tells you. I've done that. The Lord's declared today that you're his people. Yeah, he's declared that. I'm his own special treasure. Yeah, he said that. And just as he promised that you must obey all his commands. If you do, he'll set you high above the other nations he's made. God's obviously elevated us as believers, you know, to a place of honor as co-heirs with Christ, not equals with Christ, but co-heirs. And I just think, man, that should really motivate us, and I don't know, should create like an earnestness or like a sincerity to our mm-hmm. to our obedience that mm-hmm. maybe isn't always there. And so we should look at that. It's crazy to think that our obedience can be dishonoring to God, right? Like if we don't do it for the right reasons or we don't have the right heart in it. So yeah, just think that I can love God better by just obeying him wholeheartedly and being careful to obey him the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want my children to do what I tell them to do and obey me because they think it'll benefit, just because they think it'll benefit them in some way.
Right.
You know, you want their heart to be in the right place.
Right.
You want them to want to do right. Not, I'm doing this so I'll get something, or I'm doing this so I'll look good.
Right.
And the heart is not there. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, proud of you guys.
Yep. You're doing great. Yeah. Eric's doing great. This is, you know, he's had this fever for 3 days, made it through.
It's been one hour.
It's felt like 3 days.
It has felt like 3 days.
And next time you talk to Eric or you hear from Eric, he'll be better. He'll be well.
Maybe.
Well, I'm going with the positive. You can sit in negative land.
I think I'm positive.
For something, yes.
Yeah, for the flu.
I agree.
Yeah, probably.
That's my guess.
It's okay. That's why we're across the room from each other.
Yep. Yep.
Plus good thing we got these mics.
I know. I don't know, what else would we do? I'd probably be still sitting here because I'm a mom and I'm used to being exposed, and I'm a teacher.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a teacher.
I'm exposed to everything in the world. So anyway, we love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. I won't, but Hannah will.
Also, we won't see you at all.
Yes, you will.
No. You can't see them.
But I mean, okay, you know, that's just a saying. It's not a... I'm not being, you don't have to take everything so literally. Hmm. It's just a saying.
Hmm.
We'll be with you tomorrow. Eric will be with you tomorrow.
No, I will not.
Okay. Eric will read to you on a podcast that we will post on Spotify tomorrow with Hannah.
Maybe with Hannah.
Maybe with Hannah.
I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
Okay. Well, it'll be somebody. You're argumentative. You need to go to bed.